This Fan Run podcast is brought to you by Manscaped. Hey folks, it's Jake Miller from The Drive, and Manscaped is the best in men's below-the-waist grooming. Manscaped offers precision-engineered tools for your family jewels. Manscaped's Performance Package, the ultimate men's hygiene bundle. Join over 4 million men worldwide who trust Manscaped with this exclusive offer for you. 20% off and free worldwide shipping with the code 20DRIVE. That's 20DRIVE at manscaped.com. And if my math is correct, that's about 8 million balls.
It's time for The Drive's Top 4 at 4.
Hour number 2 of The Drive underway. The Top 4 at 4 brought to you this afternoon by Linderman Sports Medicine. Here once again is Jake Miller.
Thank you, Russell. Up first, NBA playoff action tonight, the Mavs and the Warriors. Tip off at 9 o'clock on TNT. Golden State enters as a 5.5-point favorite. I'm going to take the Mavs to cover.
I can dig it. Kind of to take the Mavs to win.
I'll take the money line.
They ain't going to win.
You know it, and I know it. Number 2, huge news coming out of the NCAA. There will be no more 25-man class limits. Team can sign as many players as they want per class as long as they stay under the 85-man roster limit. Also expects that divisions in the SEC will end as soon as Texas and Oklahoma join.
Well, the divisions can end.
Right.
So
will they end?
We don't know. Yeah, we don't know. If it could be divisions, it could be pods, it could be permanent opponents, could be a lot of things.
It's a crazy thing. I think it'd be a better idea just first year. Just keep the divisions. Just bring Alabama and Auburn over to the east, kick Missouri to the west, and then bring the other two in.
It's not what you want to do first year. That's what you want to do.
That's a terrible
forever.
Idea.
I don't think it's a terrible idea. I mean, I don't think it's any better or any worse than the pods. I haven't heard a good solution yet that I'm just like, yes, that's what we should do.
The three permanent opponents.
I'm starting to lean that way.
I'm still firmly in the divisions.
Eh.
I mean, what happens 15 years from now? Mm-hmm. None of us have a crystal ball. We have no idea.
Yeah, we don't know what's going to be.
What the post-Saban world of college football is going to look like. What happens if you're stuck in the Eastern Division and it's Tennessee, Georgia, Florida, Alabama, or Auburn, all up, just a murderer's gauntlet. And then Alabama's sitting over there, and like all the Western teams are terrible, and you've got a huge competitive imbalance in the conference.
Well,
or vice versa.
I don't know. I mean, we could do your idea from earlier in the week where we just completely stop playing out of conference regular season. Yeah. We just play a 15-game round robin.
Let's do it.
Not a bad idea.
College Football Premier League.
Number 3, Ohio State coach Ryan Day is expected to receive a 2-year contract extension that will run through 2028 and make him one of the top 5 highest paid coaches in college football.
Oh, Ryan Day, huh?
$9.5 million a year.
He's less cringy Butch to me.
Think so?
He's got a little bit of Butch in him. He's got some Butch about him. I don't like him.
Yeah.
I don't like him at all.
He's, I'm not say I like him or dislike him, but has been to a college football playoff, has an insane record, and obviously he was handed the keys to a Ferrari, but he hasn't wrecked it yet. They lost to Michigan last year, but I think that was that their only loss? I mean, they won the Rose Bowl.
No, they had lost to
who did they lose to?
Was it Oregon?
Yes.
Yeah.
Before that really good running back Oregon had last year got hurt.
He's 34-4 in 3 years. I mean,
yeah, look at what he took over, though.
Okay, but I mean, like I said, he hasn't crashed it yet.
I still don't like him, that's all.
Still very recruiting very well. I mean, I would be very happy if I were an Ohio State fan. That's all I'm saying.
And number 4, speaking of cars, it happens. Even with modern cars, you can apparently lock the keys inside. Often at the worst times. Just ask 4-time major winner Brooks Koepka. PGA Championship is at Southern Hill Country Club in Tulsa, Oklahoma this week, and Koepka, 2-time winner of the major, was due at his news conference at 10:30. He loaded his car and was ready to go when he realized what had happened. His golf bag was in the trunk, and his car keys were inside the vehicle. Finally arrived at Southern Hills, he said the person at fault was Jeff Pierce, his putting coach.
Now, how does that work? How do you, because most modern cars, right, they have the self-unlocking mechanism, like you're just there, the driver's side unlocks.
My car will not let me lock the keys inside the car.
That's what I haven't tried it on my car. I don't want to really find out, but like as long as I have the keys on me, car unlocked, like I don't have to unlock the doors. The driver's side, just the driver's door just opens.
Well, some cars like won't even let you shut the trunk. Like if you drop your keys in the trunk as you're loading something,
Shut,
it won't let the trunk shut.
Well, that would have come in handy. At least when I locked my keys in the truck one time.
Oh, I've done it many times. It's been a long time.
Take down it squeezed my rather large ass. I had to put the seat down and squirm my way into the trunk. It was awful. Remember that scene from Ace Ventura where he comes out of the back seat?
Yeah.
Yeah, kind of like that.
Now, wait a minute.
Was that Ace Ventura? I locked my keys in the trunk.
In the trunk. Your keys are in the trunk.
I had to, but my car was open.
Car's open, so you're in the car.
In the car, and the back seat would fold down. There was like, but the space to get into the trunk was more like for like a sixth grader.
Why wouldn't you just pop the trunk?
Yeah, you don't have a latch to pop the trunk?
No, that wasn't working.
So like the whole seat came down, or you're not talking about that little armrest thing, right?
Yeah, that section right there in the middle.
How are you squeezing through?
I got up to my waist and could reach it.
How are you getting your shoulders in the armrest?
Because
thing?
The kind of car it was, it wasn't one of those tiny ones. Like a healthy middle.
What are you, Cirque du Soleil over here? I've seen you. You are not a flexible man.
You got to keep in mind this was, 10 years before I met you. I was considerably younger.
Don't the seats lay down as well?
What do you mean?
You can lay your seats in the back seat of your car down.
I feel like Bear's about to realize that there was a much easier way to do whatever it was that he did to get back there.
I mean, maybe. Man. Maybe.
Oh! Thank you, Bear. Thank you, Jake. That is the top four at four. It's brought to you by Linderman Sports Medicine, the official live stream sponsor of Fan Run Radio. If you are not active right now because of discomfort or pain that's limiting any of your activities, check out the amazing work being done by Dr. Laura Linderman at Linderman Sports Medicine. Located in Memphis, people come from all over Tennessee and beyond to get back in the game of life without surgery. So if you want to get back on your bike, back to the gym, or walk at the park, or just have a healthier lifestyle, visit LindermanSportsMedicine.com. And when you schedule your consultation, be sure to let them know you heard us talking about it in Knoxville here on Fan Run Radio. Linderman Sports Medicine. Tony Vitello coming up in a little bit less than an hour, top of the 5 o'clock hour. The head coach of your baseball Vols will join us before the final regular season series of the season kicks off tomorrow in Stark, Vegas. Number one baseball Vols taking on Mississippi State. Then it's on to Hoover.
Hoover. 9.
For the – it's got to be all German all of a sudden.
That's what you're doing to you. Hoover.
No, I was going for more of like a northeast kind of – Hoover. NCAA tournament and hopefully a return trip to – Omaha. How did Peyton say it? Come on, Jake. You're the impression guy.
I don't do a good Peyton.
It's hard to do, right?
He's a tough one.
I've heard Chance can do the Omaha. Pretty good. He does a good Omaha.
865-546-8200. Oh, by the way, man. Condolences to the family of Larry Lacewell. Passed away today.
Coach Lacewell died today?
Well.
Really?
The age of 85, former Tennessee defensive coordinator. He was from Arkansas back in the day. I believe he played with maybe Jerry Jones and Jimmy Johnson, that whole crew at Arkansas back when they were a powerhouse in the 1960s.
All cap six.
It was all the Frank Broyles, Johnny Majors, that whole group.
Yeah.
Wow, that's a good long one. God rest his soul. Hope I make it to 85.
Let's go to the phones. 865-546-8200, your number. We'll go open lines this hour. If you want to jump in, now's the time to take a shot. 546-8200. Phil is up next. Good afternoon, Phil.
What are you talking about?
What's up, Philly?
How you and the boys doing?
Hey, doing well. How are you, man?
Larry Wacewell was he was a lot of places. He was here, and he was at Oklahoma and in their heyday with
Switzer. Yep.
So he's definitely – didn't he coach pro football, too?
He was the Cowboys' director of scouting for like 20 years. I think that's where he went after Tennessee. I think he got caught up in the Majors, Fulmer transition, and then went to work for the Cowboys from 92 to 2004. So a little over 10 years.
Well, I guess we're back to let's pretend again, you know.
Phil, what are you doing? What are you upset about? What are we pretending today?
Well, you're trying to get saying Hopples want to talk 25 coaches in college football, and he hasn't done anything yet.
That's literally exactly what I said. I think you could make the argument that he's better than some of the guys on the CBSSports.com top 25 list, but I'm comfortable not putting him in there yet just because of exactly what you said. I wouldn't say that he hasn't done anything yet. I would just say that he hasn't done enough yet.
Well, I can take that. I mean, he hadn't beat Florida yet, and hadn't beat Georgia or Alabama, and then that's the three games that we're, you know, pretty much judged on every year to be competitive in.
I mean, year in, year out, you got to beat one of them every year.
Here's what I'll say. Sam Pittman is on this list at number 22, all right? And I think the narrative there is he starts out 3-7 his first year, and everybody's like, oh, they were competitive. Yeah, but they were 3-7 in the 10-game SEC slate. And then they go 9-4 last year, finished the year ranked number 21 in the AP Top 25. So I think that's a big leap, and people are looking at it like, well, it's Arkansas, a school that was 1-23 in the SEC the three seasons before his arrival. So they're taking all that into account. If Josh Heupel is able to go 8-4 this year at Tennessee, I think that he belongs. I mean, he's right there with the Sam Pittmans, the Mel Tuckers of the world as far as young coaches at the beginning of their career who are off to a nice start.
Yeah, but you got to beat somebody that's done something. I mean, even that clown at South Carolina beat Florida last year and Auburn last year.
Yeah, I mean, he's going to have the opportunities this year. So, I mean, it's right there in front of him. I think they can have a very good season. And, you know, if they go better than 8-4, they go 9-3, 10-2, then all of a sudden, I mean, he's kind of one of the hot names going into that 2023 season.
Yeah, you're talking about the divisions in the SEC. It's not going to matter because they're going to put us with Alabama there anywhere we go, and we're going to be just totally screwed anywhere you go.
True, but the fact is you wouldn't have to play Alabama, Florida, and Georgia all the time every single year. The way it would work out for us, it'd probably be Alabama, Vanderbilt, and it would either be Kentucky or Florida that you put for that third permanent opponent, in my opinion.
I'd have Auburn, and I'd like to get away from Georgia.
You like to go back playing Auburn like we used to?
Yeah, you're going to do a pod system, Alabama, Tennessee, Auburn, and Vanderbilt. That's the way it ought to be, don't you think?
I think that's the way it, if they do like the pod thing, yeah, I think that would be our pod.
What was the system, Phil? And it's been a long time, so before 92, what was the scheduling system for a 10-team SEC? Because I know Tennessee played Alabama, Vanderbilt, Kentucky every year. It seemed like we played Ole Miss and Auburn a lot. Was there a permanent opponent or anything, or was it just pretty much some guys in a smoke-filled room in the SEC offices in Birmingham making it up by themselves every year?
I think pretty much they played Ole Miss every year because I think Ole Miss is the fourth our fourth biggest rival in playing games.
Well, yeah, I mean, I remember growing up, it was the end of the season was always Ole Miss, Kentucky, Vanderbilt every year in that order with the last three games of the season throughout the 1980s. I don't know. I mean, there's a million different ways you could slice it, and I don't know that it's inevitable that Tennessee gets screwed. I think everybody is going to get screwed when you talk about how strong the league is already is and is going to be when you bring Texas and Oklahoma in, it's just going to be a tough year. It's going to be a tough season every single year, which is, to me, another reason that you have to expand the playoffs so that schools like Tennessee and Texas and other schools that have the potential to be good but have an uphill climb have access to a college football playoff, because you're just not going to go 12-0 unless you are coached by Nick Saban. I think LSU's in that model. I mean, like, even Georgia, I just think it's going to be very difficult in this new-look SEC.
Well, if they go these divisions like Burns wanting, I'd say you put Auburn and Alabama in the east and move Missouri back to the west, and then that's the way it's going to be. I think that's what they'll do if they go that route.
It doesn't seem like
– that'd be a fun thing to watch.
I'm not hearing a lot of division talk. Like, it just seems unlikely, man. It seems like pods or permanent opponents are the most likely scenario here.
Well, you still have to have a division if you're in the pod, don't you?
I know. You got four pods. I mean, you call them pods, divisions, whatever you want, but.
So we'd have Alabama every year. Okay. Well, I've gone 20-something years without an SEC championship. I guess I can go another 20 pods, croak off of that one. You know what I'm saying?
Wow.
Jesus Christ.
Here lies Phil, 40 years without a title.
It's reality, guys. I mean, we've dug our own grave, and now we got to live in it.
Well, that's it, man. Is you worry about Alabama, and I mean they've got the best coach in the history of the sport. You're not going to live forever, okay?
No, but Alabama historically has been the best program in the SEC. I mean, they've had Bear Bryant and Nick Saban and. Even when they didn't have them, they were competitive. They've never been as bad as we've been the last few years.
Yeah, but when Tennessee had its head screwed on straight, was making good decisions, and was a competently run athletics department and college football program, they more than held their own against Alabama. We don't have any control over what Alabama does. We have very little control over what the SEC does. You know what we have total control over? What Tennessee does.
Yeah.
Hire good people.
Yeah, and in the last 30 years, the Florida Gators have owned us too, on top of that. So, looks great, don't it?
I mean, again, they had two of the best coaches of the modern era.
Well, what do we have?
You could have hired them. You certainly could have hired Spurrier. Hire better coaches.
Yeah. Well, that's just the way it goes, isn't it? Well, I guess we got Tony Vitello and Collector, though. I guess they'll win. See
you. I mean, I'm not coming off on Phil specifically, because I think a lot of our fan base is guilty of that. It's like, that's just human nature. It's like you're always worried about what the other guy has. Why does he get the nice car? Why does he get the good job? He's just lucky. Is it, like, okay, well, you don't get to control him. Look in the mirror. That's who you get to control. Make better decisions. Be like, oh, why are you so anti-Tennessee? I'm not anti-Tennessee. I want Tennessee to do well. I want Tennessee to stop screwing itself over. Make better decisions.
Quit shooting our feet out from underneath us. That's what they do.
We don't get a say in who Alabama hires. We don't get a say in who Kentucky basketball hires. We don't get a say. You get one vote. One vote out of 16. And how this new-look SEC thing is going to go. You cast your vote for whatever you want. And at the end of the day, you got to come back and build your football program. You know, Rick Barnes got here. He didn't say, oh, man, Donnie Tindall screwed our program. Oh, man, Dave Hart's not a good athletic star. No, you know what? I'm going to go and hire the best assistants I can. I'm going to go recruit my ass off. And then I'm going to coach these players and develop. And then we're going to go win ball games. You think Tony Vitello, when he got this job, John Curry hired him, you think he sat around and thought, oh, man, the SEC is so hard. Oh, we've got this terrible stadium. Oh, we just can't do it. Dave Serrano left me a mess. Oh, man, I hope I don't get swept. Hope I can win a couple of games. Maybe we can go to an SEC tournament every now and then. Maybe we get hot and do well in Hoover. No. I decide what I do. I'm going to hire Josh Elander and Ross Kivett. I'm going to hire Frank Anderson. I'm going to go recruit the best players I possibly can. I'm going to coach them up, and I'm going to win. I don't get a say in what Arkansas does. I don't get a say in what Mississippi State or Ole Miss or LSU does. I just say in what Tony Vitello does, what Tennessee does. That's the way winners think. Losers sit around worrying about, oh, this guy's got it better than me. Oh, he's got it all, man. I can't do this. I can't. Because.
Winners go home and take the prom queen home.
To quote Sean.
You butchered that one.
I had to butcher. I can't quote it directly.
Try
won't have
your
a
best.
Job tomorrow. You ever seen it, Jake? No, of course you haven't. The Rock, Sean Connery, Nick Cage.
Oh, that's another one that's just like mind-boggling.
Go look it up. Stay with us. The Drive continues. More Fan Run Radio coming up. Fan Run Radio, The Drive continues. Open lines, you want to jump in, take a shot, 865-546-8200, your number to get on the show. So it's CBSSports.com has their power rankings of the top 25 coaches in college football.
Are there any on there that would like trigger one of us other than Shane Beamer?
I mean, you're bare, so it's a list, and there are 25 coaches.
I don't
want
to hear the top five. I know who they are.
Well, we got Fitzgerald on there, and he wore cargo shorts at the Outback Bowl.
It's about Brian Kelly at number 7.
Way, way over.
Well, name me 6 coaches you think are better.
Than Brian Kelly? Yeah. Nick Saban, Kirby Smart, Lincoln Riley.
Mm-hmm.
Not Jimbo.
Dabo.
Dabo.
It's 4. You said not Jimbo?
Not Jimbo.
Okay.
Ryan Day.
No. The guy at Michigan State.
You think Mel Tucker is a better coach than Brian Kelly?
Yeah, I like him better.
That's not what we're talking about. You think Mel Tucker is – if you had to hire Mel Tucker or Brian Kelly to be the next coach of the Vols, you're hiring Brian Kelly 10 times out of 10.
I don't know, man.
Yes, you know.
I don't like him.
Come on, dude.
We're not seeing what he can do outside of
all right,
a program.
So you got 4.
Though.
You got 4. You said Brian Kelly way too high at number 7.
Chip Kelly, Cristobal. Mac Brown, if it were an emergency situation.
You think Mac Brown is a better college football coach than Brian Kelly?
Who's got the championship?
He's got a ring.
Yeah.
He's going to be in the Hall of Fame. He's risen North Carolina football out of, I mean, not even really ashes. They've had a little bit of life.
Lane Kiffin,
yeah. I'll tell you who else, as wacky as it sounds, your boy. The Pirate.
And Mike Gundy.
I don't go that far.
Gundy's number 10 on the list.
I don't like him.
You keep saying that. I mean, that's not like – you don't like anybody. We get it. You don't like it.
I like plenty of people.
College football coaches you like. Go. Name 5.
Name 5?
Name 2.
Josh Heupel.
Stop. Come on. That aren't Tennessee guys.
Oh. Probably go Chip Kelly and Mario Cristobal.
What?
Yeah.
You like Chip Kelly? I remember doing this show with you in 2017. You're on here every day talking about how unlikable he is and you don't really want him and all this, that, and the other.
Did
I had to sell you hard
I don't know. I like Cristobal.
What's he done? He's pretty much fallen on his face at UCLA so far.
I mean, Mark Richt, he was a good guy.
Stop. You do not like Mark Richt.
He was a good Christian man.
You brutalized him for a just lying right now.
Oh, the guy that used to be at Washington that was at Boise State. I liked him.
Peterson?
Chris Peterson.
He doesn't coach anymore.
Oh, David Shaw at Stanford.
David Shaw.
Yeah.
You like David Shaw?
Yeah, he's a good coach.
You would hire David Shaw here? You'd be comfortable with him?
Yeah, would have loved for them to have hired him for – you go all the way back to Kiffin. We'd be in a lot better shape if we had given Coach Shaw control of the program back in instead of hiring Lane Kiffin, we'd be probably be in a lot better shape right now.
Jamie Chadwell.
Nah. You got to prove it on you got to do it with the big boys. I mean, don't go all 3-and-out on us.
David Shaw.
Don't count out Campbell County.
David Shaw's coming off a 3-9 year.
Yeah. He'd have gotten fired here.
I went 4-2 the year before that.
4-2. That was COVID
year. Went 4-8 the year before that.
Maybe his best days are behind him. I'm just saying. You asked me if I like – name me two coaches you like. I like David Shaw. I like Mario Cristobal.
I like Manny Diaz.
There's a few others. Diaz isn't bad.
Here's the thing, man.
I like Orgeron. He's a complete psychopath, but I like him.
We talk about – like I like guys. Who cares? You know who I like?
Winners.
Guys that win.
Yeah.
I'm a guy that wins, man.
The Kelly like stuff is totally personal. Has nothing to do with the football coaching.
I liked Buzz Peterson. I liked Konzo Martin. Those are the two most likable, nice coaches that we've had in basketball. I guess Rick Barnes is probably more likable than either of those guys, really. I mean, he's the rare, likable, successful coach. Probably, like, the most fun Tennessee basketball we've had is Bruce Pearl. He's probably not a likable guy. If you get to know him, and, like, I know people that have known him, and, like, you know, all these stories are like, Bruce Pearl doing really shady stuff. Like, I'm not going to – like, we've all
Bruce
got our problems or whatever.
Bruce.
Like, give me a guy who wins, man. Like, what are we talking about? We're power ranking the top 25, the best coaches. We're not talking about who we like. What is this, elementary school? Who we like? We're not choosing friends. We're choosing a football coach to go win in the multi-million dollar sport of big time Power 5 conference, American tackle football.
I just put Brian Kelly just said, it's hard for me to get past the putting the kid up in the scissor lift. Deal that went down to that tragedy that went down at Notre Dame. It's all, I mean, all you need to know about Brian Kelly right there in a nutshell. Complete idiot. And that kid, you know, a kid lost his life. So, same thing that goes for the, any of these coaches that almost had players die, working them out to the point of death.
DJ Durkin.
Yeah. Call me crazy. I don't think he should be allowed to. He should have gotten a lifetime. You do something like that.
Why you got to make everything life and death, man? It sucks the fun out of the conversation. How am I supposed to argue football stuff when it's just, okay?
I'm just telling you, there's certain
you're better than us.
No, I'm not.
You value human life more than we
no,
get it.
No, don't patronize. I mean, that's not what I'm saying. Go ahead. Would you?
That's exactly what you're saying.
No, it's not. I'm sorry. I'm not a win at all cost. Like, y'all don't say I'm better than you.
You want the virtuous college football coach.
No, I don't. I just don't want him to kid. You know, I want him to take care of the kids.
You want to take care of the kids.
Yeah. I think working kids.
Until we play Georgia, then you want to harvest the ACLs. Don't get up on the pedestal and act like you're too good for the gutter. You're in here with the rest of us, man. Stop. Just stop.
There's a big difference between, you know.
Harvesting the ACLs.
Yeah, everybody always knows. I'm kidding about that. Everybody knows that.
No, you convinced me to buy stock in MRI machines before every football game.
Do I have to play the voice texts for you? Do we want to go in the fan run group text?
You wait just a damn minute, Darnell.
Yeah. You wait just a darn minute. Okay. All right. All I'm saying is just stop with all the faux righteousness.
Brian Kelly killed a kid. He did.
He's made the college football playoffs 4 times in a row, and if we had hired him, you'd be all on board.
I don't know, man. He's just – since he's been the cheese factor, I didn't see that coming from him. That's cringy, the stuff he's done at LSU. The dance and all that silliness.
You know what's not cringy to LSU fans? The two top 100 prospects he got commitments from this week. How many times have you been to the playoff? 2 or 3 times? I bet you they don't find that very cringy.
Well, I mean, we could have hired him probably 2 or 3 times before he got to Notre Dame.
Oh, we hired Kiffin. We probably could have hired him in 2009.
We probably would have been a lot better off.
Yeah, we probably could have hired him in 2009 and 2010. We went for Kiffin and Dooley.
God.
Couple of winners. Kiffin and Dooley.
What I mean, idiot. If you're bringing Dooley into it, I mean, that hiring Dooley was what really doomed us. I mean, we could have maybe survived the Kiffening. But when you don't, just boneheaded. And you saw what happened when Ohio State was like, oh, we're just going to name this guy interim. And then we're going to, you know, take our time for one season, one school year and get it right.
Cal Whittingham's number 8 on this list. We could have hired him. Jim Harbaugh's number 9. Gundy, Dave Aranda, number 11.
I agree with that one.
I don't know, man. I don't know. We had Josh Pate on, and he was singing Aranda's praises, and I went back.
I'm drinking the Pate Kool-Aid.
So I went back and like looked up some Dave Aranda interviews because I was like, man, I've never heard this guy talk. Like I don't know, but Pate's all on board. You talk about like zero charisma.
Was he like a black
Dave
hole?
Aranda? Oh my God.
He's just sitting there. Worse than Pruitt.
Oh, so boring, dude. Go look up his introductory press conference at Baylor.
Yes, Pruitt was like different.
If you have trouble sleeping tonight, and the Ananda Professional CBD enhanced sleep oil from National RX won't cut it, put on Dave Aranda's introductory press conference at Baylor. You'll be out in 2 minutes.
Like better than a volume.
Be like watching Buzzball all over again.
Just like
doesn't mean he can't coach, man. I mean, obviously, like he's doing well there.
No, his team plays good,
but it's early. Well,
Pruitt was just watching. Pruitt was he didn't have it wasn't a no personality thing. It was just
dumber than a bag of hammers,
and just the bizarreness of him.
He had like this Rain Man thing going on, like redneck Rain Man.
God. Cornbread.
Cornbread, definitely cornbread.
I just remember you texted me that night. You're like, have you ever watched the Jeremy Pruitt show?
Like, if you met Pruitt, seriously, and you weren't a college football fan, and like he's just wearing like a frumpy, like wrinkled polo, like his pants are too big, and he's sitting there, and
they're him with Stabler.
You're like, oh, hello, sir. What's your name? He'd be like Jeremy. Like, if you talked to him, would you not think like maybe he's a little slow? Like,
just either that or a Hill Jack from, you know, a Gump from Bama. He's got that accent.
Matt Campbell, number 12. Kirk Ferentz, number 13. Iowa coach is checking in on this list.
I mean, he's just, you know, he's probably pretty accurate. The other one, though, Iowa State guy, Matt Campbell.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Who knows, man? It's early.
I don't know about that one.
Paul Christ, 14. James Franklin, 15. Mark Stoops, 16. Dave Clausen, 17.
Whoa,
Lane Kiffin, 18.
Whoa. Mark Stoops, 16.
What's he done?
10-win season at Kentucky. Two of them, right?
But has he ever been to Atlanta?
No, he never will.
No.
I think he's overrated.
Kiffin, 18. Cristobal, 19. Mack Brown, 20.
Kiff's probably underrated.
Pat Fitzgerald, Sam Pittman, P.J. Fleck, Mel Tucker, and Dave Borendoren rounding out the top 25.
Fleck and Borendoren, you could just as easily pull those two out of that thing.
Fitzgerald ain't good.
Yeah, I mean, I think that you could make the argument that Josh Heupel belongs on this list somewhere in the lower fifth, the 20 to 25 range. I don't think you could make a realistic argument for him any higher than that. But I think you could also, and obviously the folks at CBS agree, that you could make the list that he doesn't belong on this list yet. And I'm fine with that. I'm not outraged about this at all. He went 7-5 last year and lost to Purdue without their two best players in his home state. Essentially a home game in his bowl game. Like
we got beat.
Yeah, I'm not. It's just too early, man. And he took over a train wreck last year. The positives to me outweigh the negatives so far. I'm just not crowning him yet. We've been through this way too much, man, to crown a guy.
Oh yeah, absolutely. No,
we've seen this movie before, and I'm not saying that he's a. I'm not saying it's going to play out the same way. I'm not. All I'm saying is we don't know.
There are some things, though, that cause me to have some, you know, hope and positive feelings about it.
I'd say if you're asking me what is the most hopeful thing and what is the most doubtful thing, the most hopeful thing is just, man, this guy scores points. That offense puts points on the board. That was immediate. It was obvious. I think we all kind of questioned it. And you can't question it after, like, boom, boom, boom. You went from whatever it was, 110th in the country in offense, total offense, to top 10 in 1 year with a lot of the same dudes. And it's like, okay, there's one question answered. Biggest doubt? Yeah, the other side of the ball.
Yeah.
Got to fix that.
You got to figure out how to fix it, because the way you play offense directly affects – I mean, the defense is on the field constantly with this offense, even when we're especially when we're successful.
If the defense doesn't improve at all, and I think they were 99th nationally, 100th, something like that, total defense last year. If the defense doesn't improve at all, are you in the market for a new defensive coordinator after next season?
Maybe.
Just kind of depends. Like, why did it not improve? Are there injuries? Or?
I mean, because come on, man. I mean, out of all the coaches, he was the defensive coordinator was behind the eight ball the most.
Sure.
You lose your two middle linebackers, gone. With Crouch and
not much pass rush, below average safety play, and I mean he had a tough gig, and it's not an easy gig, but you just got to show improvement, man. You got to go from bad to at least passable average.
We've got to get one of the big things that we've got to get a lot faster on defense. You mentioned it. I thought about this last week. You said something last week, and it made me – we were talking about the old days or something. But just the overall team speed.
Good old days. Stay with us. The Drive rages on. 865-546-8200 if you want to jump in here. 546-8200. Back with more right after this. All right, back here on The Drive, Fan Run Radio. Russell Bear, Jake, cruising along with you. Wednesday afternoon edition of the show, 865-546-8200. Your number to hop on board with us. So why are they – I'll be honest. I've not been keeping up with this as closely as I probably should have.
Okay.
The whole division things, like, why is this even a big deal?
Divisions?
Yeah.
I don't know. Is it a big deal right now? I think it's just people speculating what's going to happen when Texas snows.
No, I'm talking about college football in general. It's because the Big 12 wanted to have the conference championship game, but they said you couldn't if they had to get a waiver, right? You have to have 12 teams to even have divisions.
Yeah.
Like, I just don't understand, like, why, to me, who cares? If you got six teams, you can have two, three-team divisions. Like, what's the point? Like, why are we even talking about this?
I think it'd be hard with six teams, but how many do they have over there?
In the Big 12?
Yeah.
Well, they had 10 for the past couple of years.
But then they'll be going down to eight, and they've added, what, four? So they're
– No, they're going to be going – yeah, they're going to be 12
right
when it's all said and done. And they're actually going to have 16, I think, for 1 year if
– If Texas and Oklahoma?
Yeah, they can't get out.
No, they'd have 14 if they're going to have 12.
No, they're going to add the four plus Texas and Oklahoma for a year.
Oh, okay. I see what you're saying. Well, the name's very misleading, the Big 12.
Yeah.
Just like the Big 10.
For years.
I can't even keep up anymore. We've got 14 in the Pac-12, right?
I believe so.
And then 14 in the Big 10?
Yeah, and whenever they change their like logo for the Big 10.
Yeah.
It's very, very confusing looking to me. I always think it says BTG. Just something about the graphic for it. I don't like it. It's horrible.
I don't mind it. I kind of get it.
Because they're not the Big Ten anymore.
Well, people write on social media, capital B, the number one, and then the capital G. I think it's kind of cool. Actually, kind of a branding thing. I mean, Big 14 just doesn't have the same ring to it.
Yeah, but they try to make that G look like a G and an O at the same time. Very confusing to me. Very confusing.
Very confusing?
Yeah, like I said, I'm like, what the hell is this?
A little confusing.
It's just a little annoying.
Very confusing?
I mean, it's just...
Like, really, every time you see that logo pop up, you're like,
what the hell does that even mean?
Like, it just throws you for a loop?
You're really pushing the envelope today, I feel like.
Well, I'm just saying. I mean, you're...
It's confusing to look at.
It's a little hyperbolic.
Oh, okay, fine. Sure.
Say it's a little confusing. It's a little confusing. Yeah. I don't like it. I've got a minor issue with it, Big Ten. If you could make a better logo, that would be great. If not, it's okay.
They got ripped off, however much they paid for it. Which is probably not much.
Now, the Pac-12, I mean, they could go. You just go ahead and call it the Pac-14, because I remember when you were they were the Pac-8 at once, right? And then they went up to the Pac-10, and now they're the Pac-12. Like, just go with Pac-14. Be who you are. Like, it doesn't make any sense. I understand it's branding. You don't want to be changing every couple of years, but what's worse, changing every couple of years or having a name that does not accurately describe what you are?
Like the SEC. We're no longer the Southeastern Conference as soon as you added Texas and Missouri and all those people.
Texas is like Southwest.
I'm
going to
stand by, in my opinion, if you are west of the Mississippi River, you are not in the SEC.
Well, I mean, that might be, again, this might be where we're headed is SEC. You want to go ahead and really bust everything loose? Add a couple teams from the Pac-12.
Not a couple. I'll tell you, I'd add Washington, Oregon, SC, and UCLA.
What a road trip.
Just go crazy with it and then become, you know, then you could be the SEC as just a brand, but you can't call yourself the Southeastern Conference. It just has to be like three random letters that you've assigned yourself. Is the SEC brand and the logo and all that, is that strong enough, or could we call this something else?
It'd probably be called something else.
Go back to the old SEC logo like it was in the late 90s and name it something else.
That's interesting too. Yeah. Like kind of keep the same look but have a different name for it.
Yeah, I think if they're going to do it, I mean, why? I just say rip the damn Band-Aid off. I'd go get Washington, like I said, Washington, Oregon, UCLA, USC out of the pack. I'd go get Miami, Clemson.
Florida State. Go up north and get Pitt.
I'd probably get North Carolina.
I like how Bear is just remaking the sport of college football on the fly right now. Yeah. This is literally the first time he's thought about it, and he's just going to rip the Band-Aid off. When we say rip the Band-Aid off, like just the least amount of thought put into this possible, just completely on the fly.
Yeah, I'd take four teams, and then I'd take another two teams out of the
– Two?
Well, no.
Why
no,
just
then,
two?
Then you take four out of the big whatever.
Why not the big whatever?
Big Ten.
Which, I mean, there's three. Okay. Why not five?
Because you take Ohio State, Michigan State. Who would be the fourth out of the Big Ten?
Penn State?
Indiana.
You're taking Indiana over Penn State?
I'm factoring in basketball.
You just leave Penn State behind. That colossal brand of college football is just going to be left to become a Group of Five school.
That's a scummy brand.
I guess they can come and come on in.
You're taking Michigan State?
Oh, yeah.
Michigan State and Michigan.
Michigan State, Michigan, Ohio State.
What about Wisconsin?
No.
No?
No.
Why?
Well,
Camp
I mean,
Randall
you could.
Stadium, the oldest, most historic venue in all of college football.
If we're going to take Wisconsin, I mean, we're going to have to make some cuts here, Russ. Okay?
Yes.
So we're losing Vanderbilt.
It's dawning on Bear the problem of the
Vanderbilt,
that people have been wrestling with for a while
Missouri.
Now.
Missouri.
Oh, we're cutting teams out of the SEC.
Oh, yeah. I'm not talking about the SEC
cut
anymore.
Cut Tennessee.
I'm talking about what teams would be in the...
Yeah, cut Tennessee from the College Football Premier League.
No.
Why?
Because I grew up here.
We make too much
That's
money.
It's not going to happen.
We I mean, we've been irrelevant for 20 years.
But we got that money.
Some of those other schools have, too.
Just saying, it's a slippery slope, my friend.
See, I like my idea better.
Oh,
you,
God.
You divide the nation up.
That's basically
what
I said.
That's a great way to start the conversation. Aren't we already too divided,
yes,
Jake Miller?
Yes, we are, but hear me out, okay? Do away with conferences. Divide the nation up into four regions.
Mm-hmm.
You do not play anybody outside of that region.
Ever?
Ever.
Even, no bowl games? No playoff?
No.
What?
I'm kidding. Yes, you have a playoff. Anyway, here's what happens.
That's what we've got now, buddy.
You have four permanent opponents, kind of like you do in the NFL. You reschedule, probably play every team once every 3 years.
I feel like me thinking on the fly is a lot better than
Jake's. Jake's like, here's what we do. We take the entire state of Texas. You move everybody out. That way they don't have any sort of population advantage over anybody else. You redistribute that population equally among the lesser populated states. I mean, why not? Let's get crazy. Let's do it.
You leave Texas by itself, and you leave those mid.
Oh, he's still plowing in, plowing right along.
Texas is its own country now. It's the Republic of Texas.
I said Texas and all those Midwest states that nobody cares about. Leave them together. Everything west of Texas, make that one big conference. Anything above the Mason-Dixon, you make a conference. There's your four conferences, divisions,
now basically
regions,
you're gonna,
in the world you want to call them.
However you come to it, you're going to get the 32 best teams, or you know, you might do it 50. The top 50 teams in college football, and you set it up basically regionally how the NFL does, but you do play teams from other areas just like the NFL does.
Well, no, I'm saying, like, as well, we're going to have to cut some teams, like your MAC teams, your Sun Belt teams, your MTSUs who don't contribute anything to the game.
Basically what I've
football.
Been saying.
Ladies and gentlemen, the most half-baked college football realignment conversation of all time, brought to you by nobody in particular.
About half.
Okay, 25% baked at best.
We're not even medium rare.
I'm being told there are 12 teams in the Pac-12 now. Who knew? See, this is what I'm talking about. It's impossible.
Well, it
to
was
keep
the Pac-10 that became the Pac-12 when there were 12 teams.
Could have sworn there were 14 teams.
No, they never added anybody else after Utah.
I mean, there's a million ways you could do it.
So we're just leaving. We're leaving your boy David Shaw and Stanford behind in this. Cal Berkeley, no more big time football for them. Mm-mm. I mean, you're picking winners and losers here, buddy. Utah is out. The Utes, they're done. You're bringing them.
Yeah,
they're what?
They kind of remind me of the Baltimore Ravens. Dangerous, dangerous team.
So, what are we bringing them or not?
Yeah,
we're bringing them.
Utah.
What about Washington State? The Cougars.
No,
they're done.
No, they're in the lower league.
Okay. But they're on a river.
They're in the real college football.
What? Oh, here's a good one. Colorado.
No.
Colorado? No? Mm-mm. They're done? The Rashan Salams.
The 90s is an outlier for them.
Bill McCartney school.
They've not had a winning coach since the late 90s.
Well, they won it all in 1990. I mean, I know some of you guys weren't born then, but this is not ancient history, ladies and gentlemen.
And we tied them. They didn't beat us.
It was 32 years ago, Russ. Generation and a half, my friend. We're getting old.
Look, dude, the highlights of that season are not in black and white, bro. They were running the option.
It was 32 years ago.
Eric Bieniemy taking the pitch off the wing. Who was that quarterback? Didn't he die? He had like a cool name like Raul or something.
No.
Yeah.
Are you talking about
Remember that guy would hold on to it. He would pitch it at the very last minute.
What was his name?
Well, there was Cordell Stewart, too. I mean, in those years.
God, you remember when he cried on the sidelines and Bill Cowher looked over at him when he was at Pittsburgh? You remember that?
No.
Just a look of disgust.
What was that quarterback's name?
He could sling it,
man. Can you look that up, Marcus? Who was the quarterback of the 89? Saul, maybe?
No. No, that's not it. Yeah, I mean, they'd have to be I wouldn't – wouldn't bring them. I mean, they'd be in the discussion down at the bottom, sure.
Sal Anise. Anisi? Anise? Yeah, he passed away at the age of 21. It was tragic.
How?
I believe he had stomach cancer.
Ooh.
He was a great player, man. He could hold on that ball the last minute. He'd have like the downfield already 20 yards past the line of scrimmage, and he'd still pitch it.
He was good. He was really good.
The guy Bear could not remember 2 minutes ago is all of a sudden one of the all-time greats.
Well, no.
Stay with us. Removing Vitello back 20 minutes. 25 minutes from now, stay tuned. The Drive, Fan Run Radio.